Side 2 starts immediately. We continue with the issue of ghusl, and we start with this title: acts forbidden to persons who are required to perform ghusl. Persons requiring to perform ghusl are forbidden to undertake certain acts. These are as follows. Number 1. Any type of prayer, whether obligatory or voluntary. Number 2. Circumambulating the Kaaba, tawaf, or going round it. Number 3. Touching or carrying the Holy Quran. However, the prohibition does not apply to other books which contain Quranic passages, such as commentaries of the Holy Quran or works of Islamic jurisprudence. Number 4. Reciting the Holy Quran. Number 5. Staying inside the mosque. Now, menstruation, which is called as hadith or al-hayd. This refers to the periodical discharge of blood by women in their state of health, and is easily distinguishable to women from post-childbirth bleeding. Now, post-childbirth bleeding, that is nifas. Such bleeding usually occurs to women after childbirth and may continue without fixed duration, although in some cases there may not occur bleeding at all. However, on the strength of the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a woman experiencing post-childbirth bleeding has a maximum confinement period of about 40 days, after which she is required to make ghusl and commence her Islamic duties. If, however, the blood does not cease after 40 days, most scholars are of the opinion that the woman should continue with her regular Islamic duties. Now, with acts forbidden to women experiencing menstruation and post-childbirth bleeding. Number 1. All acts mentioned herein before as forbidden to persons requiring ghusl are also prohibited to women experiencing menstruation and post-childbirth bleeding. Number 2. A woman cannot engage in a sexual intercourse. The companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him about this, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the following Quranic verse. They ask thee concerning women's courses, say, they are a hurt and a pollution, so keep away from women in their courses, and do not approach them until they are clean. Quran, Surah number 2, verse 222. However, all scholars are of the opinion that a husband may touch any part of his wife's body above the navel and or below the knees. This fact is based on the confirmations of the Prophet's wives, that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wished to be with them during their periods, they would put something over their private parts. At-tayammum, ablution using the earth. At-tayammum is a means of using the soil to wipe one's face and hands with the intention of performing oneself to perform prayer. Proof of its legitimacy is found in the Holy Quran as follows. And if ye are ill or on a journey, or one of you cometh from officers of nature, or ye have been in contact with women, and ye find no water, then take for yourselves clean sand or earth, and rub therewith your faces and hands, for Allah does blot out sins and forgives again and again. This is Quran, Surah number 4, verse number 43. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said, all of the earth has been made a pure place of prayer for me and my ummah, nation. Whenever a person from my nation wants to pray, he has something with which to purify himself. That is the earth, reported by Imam Ahmad. Instances when at-tayammum is permitted. At-tayammum is permitted only on specific instances as follows. Number 1. Where the person cannot find water, or the amount of water is not sufficient for wudu. However, before performing at-tayammum, the person is required to look for water earnestly from any possible source. When a person is injured or ill and believes that the use of water will worsen his or her condition, then a tayammum is allowed. Number three, when water is too cold such that it may harm the person, a tayammum is allowed if the user cannot find means of heating the water. Number four, when water is nearby but the person is not able to fetch it due to fear for his or her life, family and wealth, example, from an enemy, either beast or human, in the vicinity, then a tayammum may be performed. Number five, when there isn't enough water and one is forced to save what is available for drinking and or cooking, then a tayammum is allowed. The earth soil to be used for a tayammum. This should be pure earth or soil and can be sand, stone or gypsum, which produce dust when hit with the two hands. How to perform a tayammum? Number one, the person should first intend by heart to perform a tayammum. Number two, the person then strike the soil with the palms of both hands. Number three, the person then wipes the face using both palms. Number four, thereafter the person uses the left palm to wipe over the back of the right hand up to the wrist, and then uses the right palm to wipe over the back of the left hand up to the wrist. Notes. Number one, if any dust clings to the hands upon striking the earth, it should be blown out first before wiping the face and the hands to avoid the dust. Number two, only one strike on the earth is sufficient for wiping both the face and hands. Number three, for persons who are required to perform ghusl but are unable to find water, then a tayammum as discussed should suffice. Matters which nullify a tayammum. Purification by a tayammum has the same validity as wudu and ghusl performed with water, but becomes invalidated in the following cases. Number one, all actions and conditions that nullify wudu also nullify a tayammum. Number two, if after performing a tayammum water is found for wudu or ghusl, the timings of the obligatory prayers. Islam has prescribed specified time limits for each obligatory prayer, as can be noted from the following verse of the Holy Quran. Prayer is enjoined on believers at stated times. The Quran, Surah number 4, verse 103. And in an authentic prophetic saying, it is confirmed that someone once asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about the best action in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the Prophet replied, offering prayer at its prescribed time, reported by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari. Thus, the arrival of the time for prayer is a fundamental condition for performing it, and if therefore a prayer is intentionally performed before or after its designated time, it shall not be acceptable in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, persons who may forget without intention to perform any of the obligatory prayers within its ordained time, or who are overtaken by sleep, then such persons should perform the prayer as soon as they remember it and or as soon as they wake up from their sleep. We shall now enumerate the different timings of the five obligatory prayers. Number one, Fajr, dawn prayer. Its time begins at dawn, when morning light first appears in the horizon and continues until the sun. Number two, Dhuhr or noon prayer. Its time begins when the sun reaches its highest point in the sky and continues up to the time of Asr prayer. Number three, Asr or afternoon prayer. Its time begins when the shadow of an object is equal to its own length, plus the length of its noontime shadow, and continues until sunset. Number four, Maghrib, sunset prayer. Its time starts from the sunset and continues until the end of twilight. Twilight is the redness which remains in the horizon after sunset. Number 5. Aisha evening prayer. Its time starts when the twilight disappears and continues up to midnight. Midnight in this case may not necessarily be interrupted or interpreted to mean 12 o'clock, but may be constructed as the mid-time between sunset and the appearance of the true dawn. Adhan, call to prayer. The Adhan is a call to inform others in specific words that the time for a particular prayer has begun. It's a call to the congregation and is an expression of the Islamic practice. It is required as an act for all the obligatory prayers. The virtues of Adhan. The greatness of the virtues which Islam attaches to the Adhan and the one who performs it, that is, the Muadhin, can be noted from the following verse of the Holy Quran. Who is better in speech than one who calls the people to Allah and works righteousness? Quran, Surah 41, verse 33. The mother of the faithful Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, confirmed that this verse concerns and refers to the Muadhin and was revealed on no other reason than for the Muadhin. And from the prophetic traditions, Abu Huraira reported that the Prophet ﷺ said, if the people knew the reward in the Adhan and the first row of the prayer, and that they could not get it, the reward, save by drawing lots, they would draw lots. Narrated by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari. And in another saying, the Prophet ﷺ said, the Muadhins, or Al-Muadhimun, will on the Day of Judgment have the longest necks, reflecting their exclusive eminence. Reported by Al-Imam Muslim. How the Adhan is performed? Preferably, there should be an appointed Muadhin at each mosque who will call the people to prayer when the time of a particular prayer is due. In performing the Adhan, the Muadhin would stand facing the direction of the Qibla, the sacred mosque in Mecca. He would then raise both hands up to his ears and say in a loud voice the following words. Number 1. Allahu Akbar. Allah is the greatest, to be repeated 4 times. Number 2. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. I testify that there is no God but Allah, to be repeated 2 times. Number 3. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. I testify that Muhammad is Allah's messenger, to be repeated 2 times. Number 4. Hayya 'ala salah. Come fast to prayer, to be repeated 2 times. The Muadhin then, reciting this, turns the face slightly to the right side. Number 5. Hayya 'ala al-falah. Come fast to success, to be repeated 2 times. The Muadhin, when reciting this, turns the face slightly to the left side. Number 6. Allahu Akbar. Allah is the greatest, to be repeated 2 times. Number 7. La ilaha illallah. There is no God but Allah, to be recited once. Note, in the Adhan for the Fajr Dawn prayer, the following words are recited twice after Hayya 'ala al-falah. That is, As-salatu khayrun min an-nawm, to be recited for 2 times, which means Salah is better than sleep. What someone supplicates upon hearing the Adhan. It's preferred practice that when a person hears the Adhan, he should repeat the words of the Muadhin calls out. Except when he says, Hayy ala salah and Hayy ala al-falah. The listener should instead say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, which means there is no power and strength except by Allah. The supplication after the Adhan. Upon the completion of the Adhan, it is recommended that the listener recites the following supplication. اللهم رب هذه الدعوة التامة والصلاة القائمة آت محمدا الوسيلة والفضيلة وابعثه مقاما محمودا الذي وعدته. Which means, O Allah, Lord of this complete call and of the prayer to be held, grant Muhammad the most favored and excellent position in the paradise and raise him to the praiseworthy place that you have promised him. It is highly recommended to recite the above supplication at the end of every adhan. And in this regard, the Prophet ﷺ said, it becomes obligatory upon me to intercede for him, person reciting the supplication on the day of judgment. Reported by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari. Iqamah, second call to prayer. Iqamah is the second call to the prayer and is said inside the mosque at the start of the congregational prayer. It goes as follows. Number one, Allahu Akbar. Repeat it two times. Number two, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Once. Number three, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Once. Number four, Hayya ala salah. Once. Number five, Hayya ala al-falah. Once. Number six, Qad qamat al-salah. Repeat it two times. Number seven, Allahu Akbar. Repeat it two times. Number eight, La ilaha illallah. Repeated once. Notes. A. It is recommended that a brief time gapping be maintained between the adhan and the iqamah to allow the congregation to get ready for the salah. B. It is preferred that the iqamah is performed by the same person, muaddin, who performed the adhan. C. It is disliked for anyone to leave the mosque once the adhan is made, unless for urgent reason or reasons, but with a determination to return for the prayer. D. It is prohibited to offer voluntary prayers after Iqamah has been called out. The Prophet ﷺ says, when Iqamah is called out, no prayer is permissible except the obligatory one. Reported by Al-Imam Muslim. E. If a person misses a prayer due to oversleeping or forgetfulness, then before starting the missed prayer, the person is required to come up with both adhan and iqamah. However, if a person misses a number of prayers, it is preferred that he comes up with only one adhan for all the missed prayers, but to come up with a separate iqamah for each salah. F. Where a person misses the congregational prayer at the mosque, such a person, before starting to pray, is at liberty to either perform or omit the adhan and the iqamah. However, if he decides to perform the adhan, it is preferred that he does it in a low voice, so as not to attract the attention of others outside. Number 9. It is not obligatory on women to perform the adhan and iqamah, but if they wish to perform the same, there is no harm. Performance of the salah. After introducing the salah and discussing its prerequisites, we shall now turn to matters pertaining to its actual performance. Conditions for the prayer. Now we are talking about shurut as-salah. There are a number of conditions which need to be fulfilled for the prayer to be valid. These are as follows. Number one, acceptance of Islamic faith. Disbelievers are not required to establish salah until they believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and bear witness that there is no God but Allah and bear witness that Muhammad is his servant and messenger. Number two, an-niyyah. This in Arabic means the intention by heart to perform the particular prayer. Number three, cleanliness. This includes cleanliness of the body, the clothes, and the place where the prayer is to be performed. Number four, purification. This refers to the performance of wudu or ghusl where it is required prior to undertaking the prayer. Number 5. Concealing of the private parts. For a man, it is essential that he covered at least from the navel to the knees all around, while in the case of woman, her body should be totally covered except for the face and wrists, of course, if there isn't a stranger man attending. Number 6. Facing the Qibla. This means that a person, when praying, must face towards the direction of the sacred mosque in Mecca, where a person is not able to locate the direction by himself or herself. The person may ask another person who may know the direction of the Qibla. However, if no one is in sight to guide to the right direction, then the person should decide for himself or herself and make the best guess of the correct direction of the Qibla, and accordingly perform the prayer in that direction, even though the guess may be incorrect. The prayer performed would still be acceptable, inshallah, in view of the following verse of the Holy Quran: whichever direction ye turn, there is the presence of Allah. Quran, Surah number 2, verse 115. Number 7. Timing. Prayers are to be observed in their prescribed times. Number 8. Sanity and consciousness. Prayer is required only from persons of sound mind. Number 9. Ability to distinguish. Prayer is required only where the person, child, is able to distinguish between good and bad, and is able to understand and appreciate fully what is to be recited, performed, etc. Note: it is preferred for children to begin performing the prayer at the age of 7, for it awakens in them the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and inculcates in them the habit of praying as an act of worship and love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A child at the age of 10 is made to understand that prayer is necessarily a part of the person's daily life and is a solemn duty ordained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on all Muslims, and that failure to perform it is an act of disbelief, kufr. Therefore, parents are required to guide their children to the right path by punishing any of them who at the age of 10 intentionally misses the prayers. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, order your children to pray when they reach the age of 7, and punish them for not performing it at the age of 10, and separate them, that is boys and girls, in their beds, reported by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari. Upon attaining the age of 15, a child is deemed to have reached adulthood, whereby he or she is required to perform the prayer. Here below are some other signs which may indicate that a child has attained adulthood. Letter A. The growing of pubic hair. B. Finding traces of semen on the child's clothes and or bed. C. The start of menstruation in the case of a girl. Categories of the acts of the salah. All the acts, readings, and supplications undertaken in the course of the salah have different legal weights and implications. They are categorized as follows. Letter A. Pillars of the salah. Arkanu salah. B. Necessary duties of the salah. Wajibatu salah. C. Preferred acts of the salah. Sunanu salah. We shall now discuss each of these categories in turn. Pillars of the Salah. Arkanus Salah. The prayer has obligatory pillars which must be fulfilled for it to be valid, and these are as follows. Number 1. Al-Qiyam. Prayer is to be performed in a standing position if a person is physically capable. 2. Takbiratul Ihram. That is saying Allahu Akbar at the commencement of the prayer. Number 3. Al-Fatiha. That is reciting the opening chapter of the Holy Quran in every rak'ah. Number 4. Al-Ruku'a. This is bound posture whereby the head and the back are positioned on the same level, and both hands are rested on the knees, with the fingers spread apart. Number 5. A requirement to raise the head up from the ruku' position. Number 6. A requirement to stand up from the ruku' position in such a way that the person feels that all his or her backbones are straightened. Number 7. Sujood, or a sujood, that is, prostrating oneself in such a way that the following 7 parts of the body are firmly placed on the ground: the forehead together with the tip of the nose, both the palms, both the knees, the bottom surface of the toes of both feet. B, or number 8, a requirement to raise the head from the sujood position. Number 9, a requirement to sit upright during the pose between the two prostrations. Number 10, a requirement to take a sitting position for the recitation of the at-tashahhud, words of witness. Number 11, a requirement to recite the final at-tashahhud. Number 12, a requirement to recite the words of supplication for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Number 13, a requirement to conclude the prayer with the words of peace, taslim, that is, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. And it is added wa barakatuh, but it may be done only on the right side. Number 14, a requirement that is fulfilling the above pillars, the person should be in the state of tranquility. The above are the pillars of the prayer, wherein, if any of them is missed, it is required to repeat the whole rak'ah unit, in which the pillar is omitted. But if the takbiratul ihram is omitted, it becomes necessary to repeat the whole salah. Now, necessary duties of the salah. Wajibatul salah. In addition to the above 14 pillars of the prayer, there are also certain necessary duties which need to be fulfilled in the course of the salah. These are as follows. Number 1. Saying Allahu Akbar in the course of the prayer, where it is necessary. Example, upon commencing ruku'ah, etc., etc. Number 2. Saying Subhana Rabbi al-Azim when in ruku'ah position. Number 3. Saying Sami'a Allahu liman hamidah while resuming standing position from the ruku'ah, whether the person is an imam, leader, or is praying alone, munfarid. Number 4. Saying Rabbana wa lakal hamd when resuming the standing position from the ruku'ah after saying the words Sami'a Allahu liman hamidah. This is required from the imam, leader, from the congregation, and even from a person who is praying alone. Number 5. Saying Subhana Rabbi al-A'la when in sujood, prostration, position. Number 6. Saying Rabbi al-Firli in the sitting pose between the two protrations of every unit of the prayer. Now number 7. Taking a sitting position for the recitation of at-tashahhud after the first two rak'ahs, units of al-dhuhr, al-asr, al-maghrib, and al-isha prayers. Number 8. Reciting at-tashahhud, words of witness, after the first two rak'ahs, units of al-dhuhr, asr, maghrib, and al-isha prayers. The above 8 acts constitute the necessary duties of the prayer, and if one of them is missed unintentionally, then the person is required to amend the mistake by coming up with the two prostrations of the forgetfulness at the end of the prayer. However, if any of these duties is left out deliberately, then the whole prayer is nullified and shall require a repetition. With this, we come to the end of tape 1 of Kitab As-Salah. And still there are other pages to be recorded on the next tapes. Thank you.